Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode.
Let's go.
Welcome back to our second episode of the top three ways to achieve hormonal health and fat loss. Today, I get to dive into with you my favorite topic, which is getting your gut in check. Now, this is something very near and dear to me for a multitude of reasons. First of all, I had my own huge health transformation of overcoming IBS, cystic hormonal acne, and narcolepsy because I got my gut corrected. I mean, I had so much bad signaling, wonky hormones. It was really just a disaster. Now, the other reason that it is so near and dear to me is I'm a former public school teacher. I taught for 7 years, every single grade, if you could even imagine that. I squeezed it all in there, K through 12, except for second grade. No bias there, but it's the only grade I didn't get an opportunity to teach. And in that time, I worked in a very, very well-to-do district, and I worked in a residential facility. So just think of like the two polar opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to schools. I got the opportunity to be in both. And what was crazy is the issues are the same. Kids have the same struggles, but really what stood out to me was the behavior of my students. Now, specifically in the residential facility I worked at, I was the district technology specialist. And so I got to see all grade levels, third grade all the way up through 12th, and then did some trainings with teachers. So I saw it all. And in that time, I would see the state provided breakfast for my students, which was animal crackers and apple juice. Now, you may be sitting there being like, well, that sounds pretty delicious. And, you know, no doubt it was. But when you looked at the amount of sugar these kids consumed in 20 minutes, I mean, we're talking like 50 grams of sugar. And just to give perspective, the American Heart Association recommends less than 25 grams of added sugar per day for children and teens. So we're like double the amount at breakfast. And then lo and behold, these kids had a really hard time sitting still. I mean, how do you sit after you've just been fed 50 grams of sugar? You're supposed to sit in a chair and pay attention? Like, good luck. And so I watched these kids misbehave, you know, some of it their fault, some of it not their fault, right? It's a mixed bag. But the horrible thing was these kids got punished for their behavior. And for the 3 years that I worked at this school, I just couldn't wrap my head around the fact that we couldn't do better for the kids' meals and that we couldn't make this link between their behavior and what they were eating. You know, as I was going literally through this own journey myself at that exact time, discovering that my Starbucks caramel macchiatos were not good for me, I'm watching the same thing happen in front of me. And isn't it so much easier to like see it in front of you as opposed to seeing it inside of you? And then after you realize something in front of you, then sometimes you can relate it to yourself and be like, oh my gosh, yep, I was struggling with the exact same thing. So getting your gut in check, I mean, it's basically how trillions of microbes are basically impacting your hormones. Now, I've said this before, your gut contains more bacteria than there are stars in the universe. Your gut contains more bacteria than there are grains of sand on every beach in the world. I mean, we are so diverse on the inside, and it's something that we're finally starting to have conversations about, but I think we need to be having a lot more conversations about. So when it comes to addressing your gut, let's just put it this way. Your gut is the hormonal messaging center for your body, brain, heart, lungs, and more. Your gut literally controls your cravings, your mood, your hormones, your sleep, your energy, your stress resilience, all of it. So as I'm struggling previously with IBS, cystic hormonal acne, and narcolepsy, you know, realizing that there was actually a connection to my gut and what was going on inside was the biggest game changer. It made changes that no creams, lotions, pills, or, you know, protocols could change. It literally took me diving in and getting to the root. And I just believe that that's kind of like our responsibility, right? Get to the root. Stop putting band-aids on it. Get to the root. Now, up to 90% of our feel-good neurotransmitters, so this is dopamine, serotonin, GABA, norepinephrine, they all originate in our gut. So a lot of people wonder why they don't feel good. And it could be, you know, carrying around excess weight, not having good sleep hygiene, maybe not eating the proper things. But honestly, if your gut is not in a good rhythm, I mean, that's kind of like a general way for saying, like, you know, your gut is not cleaned up and working properly, you're not going to feel good because those feel good neurotransmitters can't function and signal and fire. So by fueling your gut with the right nutrients, we can physiologically support our happiness naturally. So some of the factors that actually can impact your gut positively or negatively can be your movement, sleep, stress. Stress is a really big one. And let me just go there for a minute. I got a couple more to list here. But when it comes to stress, here is what is just bananas. You can eat healthy, you know, whatever that means to you. You can move your body and you can get good sleep. But if you are chronically stressed, did you know that those stressful thoughts actually produce a production of acid in your gut? Like, think about that for a minute. You eat perfect. Like, let's say you are the perfect person. And this is not me because I'm not perfect. I don't think you are either. But let's say we have the perfect person. They eat perfectly. They have a perfect bedtime. They drink the perfect amount of water, but they're chronically stressed. They're going to have gut issues. And again, working in this residential facility, I was very stressed. So on top of my terrible diet, my terrible sleep habits, my alcohol consumption, my lack of movement, you throw stress in there, again, it was a disaster. But stress is so important. It's not, there's nothing we can do to make stress go away, right? We can't eliminate our stress, but we can improve our stress resilience. And in addition to mindfulness practices, your gut actually helps you with that. Other factors impacting your gut are your biotics. So there are thousands of strains of pre and probiotics. They all do different things. And a really great example I love of this is if you are constipated, you do not want to take a probiotic that is going to help with diarrhea, right? Because that probiotic is going to bind you up. And if you're already constipated, well, now you're in a worse situation. You may be thinking, but I'm taking probiotics. Well, what strain? So we want to be so strain specific when it comes to probiotics. And most of what people take are digestive probiotics. And that is only one itty bitty little tiny chasm of probiotics. So if you're taking your bifidobacterium or your lactobacillus, like look at the back of your bottle, that's probably what it is. That is literally just helping you with digestion. There's a whole other world of probiotics. Okay. In addition to that, we also have your mindset, right? Your mental state. If you're constantly worried, is it not crazy that we say like, oh, I have a sour stomach? You got acid being released in your gut. So your mindset is incredibly important, or stress, or you're angry. Also, water consumption and food consumption impacts your gut. Now, in regard to food consumption, check this out. We want to look at the quality of our food, the quantity of our food, the type of food, the timing of our food, the sugar in our food, the processing of our food. I mean, when we look at food, food is literally what goes into your mouth, goes down to your gut to get examined and processed and put out into all the other body systems, right? It goes into our bloodstream, it goes into our digestive tract, and then it goes into our waste elimination tract. The food that we eat can actually work to either heal our body or it can fuel disease. So back to my adorable students, you know, eating and consuming that amount of sugar for their first meal to break their fast from the night, right? That's what breakfast is. We're breaking a fast to just throw 50 grams of sugar into their body. You know, are we healing the body or are we perhaps fueling disease? Because I'll tell you what, diseased cells feed on sugar. In fact, we have a friend who works in a cancer ward and she shared, I mean, this is mind blowing. She shared that patients with cancer, when they do imaging on that patient, they will feed that patient sugar because sugar literally makes the cancer cells in someone's body dance. Cancer feeds on sugar. Now, that's like a bit of a tangent, but I just feel like that's so important not to share. So when we think about all these things, take an assessment. And I really want to just kind of, I know I listed like 23 things for you and you're sitting there like, okay, like I'm really overwhelmed. Okay, let's break it down to this. This is my recommendation for you. And this is what I do with every person that I first speak with. 4 ratings to check your gut health. Factor number 1 is energy. Okay, so rate your energy. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most energized, where are you going to rate your energy? If you're below an 8 on average, that's something you might want to look at. You know, what things can I do to clean up my gut? Factor number 2 is your stress. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most stressed, where would you rate your stress? If you're 7 or higher, you're chronically stressed. And most people I speak with, because we live here in the beautiful country of the United States of America, stress is a chronic thing that we hold on to. We were never designed for that. We were designed with the fight or flight ability, right? We either have to fight the saber-toothed cat or we have to run away. We're going to take flight. Our bodies today don't have that stress response where it's like a surge of adrenaline. We take action and then the threat is over. We're under chronic stress with social media comparison, terrible meals, stressful jobs, crummy coworkers, whatever it is, we're chronically stressed. So if you're 7 or higher, you have chronic stress, you got to start examining some things in your life. Okay. Some things you're going to be able to do some stuff about and other things you are not, but we can improve our stress resilience with our gut. Factor number 3, your sleep. Now, this is a big one. You know, 6, really 7 hours of sleep are ideal, but the more important thing about sleep is it broken sleep? You know, if you're waking in the middle of the night, and especially if you're waking and having a hard time falling back to sleep, there could be something that's off in your gut. I mean, and there are so many different things we can use to help with longer, deeper sleep cycles or more energy or a natural production of serotonin so that we could better handle stress. So again, those first 3 factors, where's your energy at? Where is your stress at? And do you have broken sleep or do you sleep through the night? And do you wake feeling rested? I would love to know if you actually feel rested because I feel like most people don't. And then the final piece is your waste removal system. So I always ask clients, are you having a bowel movement at least once a day, at least, right? Less than once a day is not okay. That's my line there. I'm trademarking that. You can't steal that, but you can repeat it and give me credit. But less than once a day is not okay. We want to be able to eat food in a day and release waste in a day. If you let your garbage sit around in your house for a couple of days, it doesn't smell so good. You know, that's what happens in our body. You are a closed, encapsulated body with waste that just sits and hangs out. Now you may be like, that's totally disgusting. Well, that's the reality of the situation. You know, you got to let that stuff go. And in that same 4th category of your digestive waste elimination system, do you get bloated? You know, bloating, I would say, is one of the tall tale factors that something is off in your gut. Okay. At the end of this, you're like, okay, Corbeth, what can I do about that? I got myself rating. I know where I land on this scale. How can I actually assess this? Well, I'm going to give you 3 simple ways. Way number 1, drink more water. Now you may be wondering how much water should you be drinking? And it's typically in ounces, 75% of your body weight. So if you are a 100-pound person, that's 75 ounces. If you're a 200-pound person, that's 150 ounces. And yes, we are over a gallon, but I am not suggesting that you go from drinking a 16-ounce bottle of water a day to 130 or 150 ounces overnight, because my friend, you are going to be living in the bathroom. But over the course of a few weeks, gradually increase your consumption by 8 ounces of water. Now, this may be causing you some doubt or overwhelm, but if you whip out your measuring cups in the kitchen, look at the 1 cup measure. If you put water in that 1 cup measure and you visually can see what 8 ounces of water looks like, it's actually not so overwhelming. And I promise it will erase any doubt you have. It is just a few gulps. You can just begin adding 4 to 8 ounces of water gradually into your day and consistently. And eventually you will be able to double or triple your water consumption without having to run to the bathroom or get up all night and pee. Last point I'm going to make on this, water literally helps to clean out your pipes. I love speaking in analogies because we can all understand them. If you had a clogged up, blocked up, corroded pipe that was dry, right? That's your esophagus and your intestines and your colon without a whole lot of hydration. What happens with the pipe? It's stuck. The food is stuck. But once you flood that pipe with water, you have a constant flow of water that just maybe comes in heavy or it trickles in gradually over the course of a day, it starts to clear the pipe. The same is true for our body. Now, the water is not just going to go from one end to the other because we are not a pipe, right? We have so many other intricate systems, but that water goes into your blood. It goes into your cells. It literally makes your face and skin look better. I can look at a person and tell whether they are hydrated or dehydrated. So take home point here. Water is incredibly important. The next thing that you really should do, I don't like to shit on people, but I'm going to shit on you right here. Assess how much sugar you're consuming over the course of your day. You know, I said that the American Heart Association recommends less than 25 grams of added sugar for kids and teens. For men, it's a little bit more, but for women, guess what? It's the same as kids and teens, 25 grams of added sugar max a day. In fact, when we do challenges, we say 15. Because most of what we see out in mainstream is like not healthy, it's less than healthy. So we want to go a step beyond that. So assess, keep a little tracker, write down how many grams of added sugar are you actually consuming in a day. I actually did this just yesterday in our homeschool co-op. I gave the kids, we did a whole lesson on sugar and what happens and the messaging and the signaling to our brain. And it was really cool. It was like a reader's theater where the kids were like moving around the classroom. You know, someone was sugar. The sugar had to go over and touch the finger of the brain. And it was just like a very exciting, fun way that I wish I got to learn about sugar and what it does in our body. But I sent the kids home with trackers and said, just track, find out how much sugar do you guys have in a day? You know, well, I'll let you know next week when they come back with it, but do that for yourself. Actually assess that. And then finally, you know, in moving your body and eating food, look at things that maybe create some inflammation. What creates bloating? Is your bloating food specific? Like, do you eat a sandwich or a wrap and then all of a sudden get bloated within, you know, an hour of consuming it? Or do you just get bloated the minute you wake up? You know, those are all factors that we want to look at and examine. What are we eating? What are we doing at that time? If you just took a tracker and you tracked that data for 3 days, literally the answers are going to be right in front of you. You know, you don't even need me. You just need yourself, but you actually have to do the work. You have to track that out. I mean, this is how I personally was able to look at my students and say, wow, this food is creating these behaviors. And then they can't learn and they can't focus. That's what pulled me out of teaching. That's why I'm here with you today, because of that experience. And then for myself, I was able to say, wow, when I drink that caramel macchiato at 3 o'clock, I'm hitting a wall at 4 o'clock. I'm falling asleep behind the wheel of my car. You know, that data seems so glaringly obvious. You're going to have the same experience. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't recognize that in myself. But when it's us, it's hard, you know? So even if you want an accountability buddy to do this with, share this episode, do this together and check out the data. I always say to clients, bring the data, not the drama. Don't come on and be like, oh my gosh, like I just had the worst day and I'm so bloated. Why are you bloated, right? Let's look at the data. Let's actually figure out what's going on. We don't want to make our situation worse than what it is. We also don't want to make our situation better than what it is. We just want to see it for what it is. And that is when we're going to find data, we're going to get answers, and we're going to be able to make decisions so that we can feel better. All right, my friends, I hope this was so helpful for you in getting a gut check, checking out the health of your gut and improving the function of your gut so that you can not only look better, but so that you can feel better, have more energy, and just experience more connection in your life. Hey guys, thanks for joining us. We're trying to do our part to build people up and take the overwhelm and confusion out of exercise and nutrition so people and their families can live fuller lives.
We've got an entirely free coaching course for you over at purephysique.com. So head over and share it with your friends.
And because we do the show entirely free and without sponsors, we'd super appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review, share this podcast with friends and on social, and be sure to tag us.
We'd love to know what you discovered today and how this information impacts you. Let's go.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.